We began a series a couple of weeks ago. We're calling it Enter Eden. That's an odd-looking deal, but it illustrates what we're talking about. There's a parallel to our hearts, and it's the Garden of Eden. And I don't have time to go back and preach all of that again, but it says in the New Testament that we are God's garden. So when God created man, he put a garden inside of him, and then he placed him in a garden. And there's a lot of similarities that what happened in the garden is what was happening in his heart. And it's just kind of a neat deal. I've been thinking about this for a year or so and thinking, boy, that would be just a great series about managing what God has given us. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Whatever issues out of your heart determines your life. And so today, you are what's in your heart. And he placed him in a garden. And the ideal in the Hebrew there, that it was a fence place. So that means that there were things in that garden that were supposed to be inside that fence. Because a fence does two things. It keeps things in and it keeps things out. So the ideal of a fence garden is that there are things that belong in our heart, and then there are things that don't belong in our hearts. And it's our responsibility as believers to manage what we allow in our hearts and what we keep out of our hearts, because it determines the outflow of our lives. Your whole life is by design, by God's design, is that we live out of the flow of our heart. And so this is kind of what we've been looking at the last few weeks. And we made several parallels. And if you want to go back and listen to those are available online. Last week we talked about managing time. And there's two Greek words. There's kairos and there's chronos. Chronos is the clock time. It's days, weeks, months, hours, minutes. It's the sequence of time. And so we talked about learning to manage our time. And then the kairos time is the opportune times. And in our whole statement last week is that unless we learn to manage our hours, our days, our weeks, our months, we will miss the opportune times in our life. See, God has opportune times for us. And if we'll manage the days, the minutes, the hours, the days, if we'll learn to manage those things and put in us what we need to, like every day you do certain things, because you're preparing for the opportune time when it comes, so that we can seize the time. See, as I manage my day and I walk with God, out of my garden, I'm putting things in there that needs to be in there, and I'm excluding things that don't need to be in there. Then when I'm walking during my day, sometimes I come across a person that has a need in their life, and it's an opportune time to speak out of my heart to them. And God is preparing his people. See, one of the things that's crippled the church is the ideal of clergy and laity. Those are not biblical terms, but somehow in our church culture in America, we have incorporated those terms, thinking that the people who are in ministry are the people who stand up front and preach and teach and administrate and do those kind of things. That is totally unbiblical. Really, we're all ministers. We're all ambassadors for Christ. Not everybody's called to stand up here and teach or preach or pastor, but every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us has a responsibility. And if we will learn to manage our time by taking time to put God's word in us, developing our relationship, our daily relationship with God, if we'll take care of the daily, then God will make sure that the opportune time comes, that we can speak for him, that we can touch people for him, that we can minister life to people. See, we're supposed to be life-giving believers. See, people ask us all the time, what kind of church are you anyway? See, they're wanting to know, are you Baptist? Are you Methodist? Are you Pentecostal? Are you this? Are you that? Well, you know, we're not trying to make people Baptist. We're not trying to make people Methodist or Assembly or Catholic or anything like that. We're just trying to be a life-giving church, a church that gives forth life and life abundantly. I want people to be able to come here and pour life into them so that you can turn around and you can go out and you can pour life into other people. And if you have life flowing out of you, everywhere you go, you're going to be a life-flowing spring that you, when you have that opportune time, you're going to be able to speak life to somebody. See, that's what it's about. The kingdom is not spread necessarily through the Sunday morning worship service. It is spread as you go out in your daily life, the people that you come in contact with, the people that you work with, the people that you live with, the people that you come across, and you have the opportunity to speak life to them. See, that's what we want to see. We want people to be equipped to do that. So in order to do that, you're going to have to learn to manage your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. So you got to keep strife out. You got to keep hate out. You got to keep prejudice out. You got to keep a critical spirit out. What do we need in there? We need love and joy and peace and righteousness and holiness. We need those things on the inside of us, because those are the things that produce the life that can flow out of us. And we can be a life-giving stream to everybody that we come in contact with. But see, it starts with simple things like managing your input, setting a guard on your garden, your inner Eden, and by putting the right things in there that you need. Your daily Bible reading, your meditation time, your prayer time, your worship time, your fellowship time. Making certain things priorities, getting things out of our life that are non-productive, and putting productive things into our lives so that we can be the best that we can be for God. And when we do that, it's amazing how the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And He brings us to the right point and the right time, to the right person that needs something, and we're able to even supernaturally speak into their lives. See, one thing that I do as I prepare a service is I ask, Lord, enable me to say what people need to hear. And I have people tell me all the time, you've been standing outside my window listening, hadn't you? And I'm not a peeping Tom. I don't do that. But what I do is I trust the Holy Spirit to take what I say and speak to your heart what you need to hear, so that you can deal the way that you need to do. See, I see this sometimes, that there are opportune moments that happen every Sunday morning in this service as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart what you need to hear individually. And I don't have to know what He said. That's so good, because I don't have to know your problems. I don't have to know your weaknesses. I don't have to know what you're dealing with. But I do know this, that the supernatural power of God can speak into your life and say to you what you need to hear. In fact, sometimes I'll just say one word and He'll start talking to you and say something that I didn't even say. See, that's what I'm talking about. But that don't just happen. That don't just happen. You know what one of the greatest things that we got to keep out of our garden? It's the thing that entered in at the fall of Adam, and that's fear. You know what Adam did when he sinned? He ran from God. He hid from God. And fear became the dominant force in his heart. And fallen man, listen, fallen man is driven more by fear. See, Adam lived by faith and love before he fell. But fear robbed him of his faith, and fear robbed him of the love walk. And there's a lot of times we can't walk in love because we're afraid of what people might think of us if we told them about Jesus, or if we hugged them, or if we loved them, or we spoke into their life. See, we're more motivated by fear. And we have to get that fear out of our hearts, because when you're born again, listen, God has not given you a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. See, that's what you've been given. So we have got to come against the fear that tries to come against us. Fear will cripple and paralyze you and keep you from being what you're supposed to be in God's kingdom. So we got to manage our time. Today we're going to talk about managing talent. We're going to talk about some areas here. And I want to read a verse of scripture that I think this is so powerful. This is from the Message Bible, and it's Psalms 139. Listen to this. Oh yes, you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you've watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Can I tell you something about yourself? You're amazing. You're amazing. Turn and look at your neighbor and say, you're amazing. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're amazing. Now, don't respond to this, but how many of you don't feel amazing? This says that you're amazing. But sometimes we don't feel amazing. Which is true? What you feel or what God says? It's what God says. You're amazing. Oh, yeah, but I goofed it up. Well, you hadn't goofed it up so bad that God can't unravel it and turn it around. That's the good news. See, that's the good news of the gospel. You can't goof it up so bad that God can't fix it. There's a lot of goofed up people out there. There are some goofed up people in here. I should have you turn to your neighbor, but I'm not going to do it on that one. You might get a black eye. You were designed by God to be amazing. You're not an accident. Somebody may have told you you were an accident. You were not an accident. You were designed by God. You were put together bit by bit by God. Your personality, your temperament, your talent, and your spiritual gifts. You have been woven in God's heart. And God put that, not just your body, He designed your inner man. And you're amazing. I need to say that again. You're amazing. You're amazing. And we don't realize how amazing we are. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. See, everything that's good comes from God. I love John 10:10 because it's the great divider. If you ever wonder what's happening in your life, where it comes from, read John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes not. Who's the thief? The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now your Father, you know how to know what the Father's like? Look at Jesus. Jesus said this. He said to His disciples, His disciples said to Him, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. We'll be satisfied if you'll show us the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The way that we understand the Father is to look and see who Jesus is. He is. Jesus is an exact reflection, a perfect reflection of our Father God. Amen? So the good stuff, the perfect stuff, comes from above, from God our Father. Now, I want to talk about several things here today. First of all, I want to talk about temperaments. See, you have a temperament, you have a personality, you have talents, and you have spiritual gifts. Every one of us have these things in our life. Now, man, this don't come from the Bible, but this is just man's observations of temperaments. We've all heard these. You know, there are four that they talk about, and you can have any kind of mix of these. But sanguine, choleric, melancholic, or phlegmatic are temperaments. Some of these temperaments are very outgoing, extrovert. Some are introvert. Some have to do with task, that are just task-oriented, and there's some that are very people-oriented. See, I'm very happy-go-lucky guy. I like people. I like being around people. I'm somewhat task-oriented, but if I'm doing a task and somebody comes up, I'd rather stop and talk to them. Now, some of you are just the opposite. Don't give me something to do and get out of my hair and let me go do it. That's your temperament. That's the way that you're made up. See, those things are put in us by God. And what we need to learn how to do is to accept people by their temperaments, how they are made, the way that they're put together. Thank God we're not all the same. I'm glad we're not all the same. A fellow said one time, says, I'm glad we're not the same, because if we were all the same, everybody'd want my wife. Other guy said, yeah, and if they's like me, they wouldn't have her. So thank God we're different. If we was all the same, I'm afraid we'd be like somebody we don't like. No, we're put together temperament-wise different. And then God takes those temperament and he'll mix a personality in with it. See, there are people who are, like I said, they're very task-oriented. They're very outgoing. They're warm. You know, they're healers. They are... they're encouragers. They're just put together that way. They're people oriented. They're pretty weak when it comes to task. Then you got introverts. Then you got dreamers, and you got people who are masterminds and vision casters. And some of this has to do with personalities. I don't have time to go through them, but they've recognized 16 different kinds of personalities that they talk about: introvert, extrovert. You know, task-oriented, people-oriented, and even in that, there are different makeups of personality. See, God gave you your personality. Don't try to change your personality. Now, sometimes we goof things up, okay? I'm not talking about your sin. Repent of your sin. But don't try to change your personality. And see, there's talents. I'm glad we have different talents. There are people who have a natural talent to sing. Then there are some of us that really have to work at it to be able to barely sing. Then there are some people that wish they could sing and everybody else wish they wouldn't. But there's people who have ears that have perfect pitch. There are people who can listen to a chord on a piano and tell you what key that's in. I can't do that. See, that's a talent. And that comes to them naturally. There are other people who are very athletically inclined. See, we have different natural talents that God has given us. Don't be jealous of people who have different talents than you. Rejoice in the talent that you have. And you say, well, I don't have any talent. Yes, you do. Quit lying. You may not realize what it is, but every one of us have been given talents by God. We've been given a temperament by God. We have been given a personality type by God. We have been given a talent by God. And listen, every one of us have spiritual gifts in our lives. A lot of them correspond with our personality. They do. So that there are people who are exhorters. There are people who show mercy. There are people who lead. And they just have an inclination. They just have a knack towards leading. There's people who cast vision. And they just have a knack. And it's part of their temperament. And it's part of their personality. And it's a gifting by God when they get saved that they have that spiritual gift in their lives. We need exhortation. We need teaching. We need prophecy. People who say, you know, the Lord said. That's a little bit confrontational. Those are different kind of spiritual gifts. And then you need those people who surround people. I'm not one to, if you got a problem, to come up and cry over you. I want to say, okay, here's what you need to do. Number one. Number two. Number three. No, I don't want to hear. No, listen. Quit crying. Sometimes you need people that can cry with people. That's not me. Okay? I'm number one. I'm teacher. Number one, number two, number three, number four. You need people who show mercy. You need people who can encourage. See, some people say, well, what you need to do is just get your big girl britches on and get over it. No, sometimes you need to be encouraged. Be careful who you go to for encouragement. They may tell you, what you need to do is shut your mouth and... Okay? We're gifted differently. And listen, it's okay. It's okay. I want to read a verse. Because sometimes we think our gift's the best gift. We think we're all that. So God has a saying here in Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. See, you are what you are temperamentally, personality, talent, and spiritual gift by the grace of God. God looked at your life and says, I need Jim Busby to be like this. Yeah, let's mix this up. Put this in. Put a little dash of this and a little dash of that. And that's going to be what I need him to be. And he's going to fit into my body. And in my body, this is the function that he's supposed to have. See, what we think a lot of times is, the way that we see things and the way that we're gifted, that everybody else ought to see things that way and be gifted that way. That's not how it works. Not everybody's an elbow. Thank God for my elbow. If I didn't have elbows, I'd starve to death because I couldn't get my food to my mouth. What good is a mouth if you don't have an elbow to bend to get the food to your mouth? Brother, I like to eat. I got to have my elbow to do that. Why that elbow's not important. Wait till you don't have one. Okay? And here's what we get in the body. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the body, how that God put the body together. The eye can say to the foot, I have no need of you. Really, that's superiority. But here's what we see more of. What we think is a less important member of the body. Because we have a tendency to see everybody else better than we are. Because I tell you, most of us, now there are a few people that they think they're all that. They're not as sharp as they think they are. Okay? But they think they're all that. But most of us are pretty tough on ourselves. I beat myself up all the time over how I minister. I am my worst critic. And here's what usually happens well, brother so-and-so, when he did that, he said this. Did you know the Bible tells us that when we compare ourselves among ourselves, that we're not wise? I'm not supposed to be like brother so-and-so. Listen, there is none like me. I am one of a kind. I am unique. I am made by God to do what I do. I'm not supposed to do what Charles Stanley does, what Andy Stanley does, what Rick Bizet does, what Kenneth Copeland does, what anybody else in the body of Christ. I am called to be who I am. God put me in the body to do what I do. Now, can I develop who I am? And can I make the most of what I've been given? Yes. But when I start looking at somebody else and say, you know, I'm not important because I don't speak to thousands. I don't speak to multitudes. I devalue the gift of God. I devalue the gift of God. I devalue who God made me to be. And it's like you just slap God in the face and say, you didn't do a good job on me. He didn't call us all to be the same. He called us to be who we are and to be the best me that I can be. I don't need to just slack. I need to manage my time. I need to manage my personality. I need to, you know, if there's problems in my personality, if there's something that's got out of whack, if I'm walking in fear, I need to get that out of my life. I need to manage. I need to manage my garden. I need to put the things in there that need to be there. I need to get the things out that don't need to be there. I need to evaluate. I need to make priorities. Let me give you some quotes. I love quotes. They help us to remember things. Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. That's pretty good, isn't it? To be yourself in a world that is consistently trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. I used to have people tell me, oh, brother so-and-so, well, when he said that, he said this, and he did this, and he did that, and, oh, you're not as good as brother so-and-so. Don't say that to anybody. You are not being a blessing when you say dumb stuff like that. Be an encourager of people. Yeah, we need to grow. I need to grow. I have not reached my potential yet. I'm working on it. I'm trying to manage me so that I can be a better me. But don't compare me to somebody else. I'm not them. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You are not them. Be the best you can be. If you try to be somebody else, the only thing you're going to be is second-rate somebody else. You can be a first-rate you, though, because you're the only one that can be you. Does that make sense? That's good stuff. Praise God. When you are content to simply be yourself and don't compare or compete, everyone will respect you. Make the most of yourself, for that is all there is of you. The easiest thing in the world is the easiest thing to be in the world is you. The most difficult thing is to be what other people want you to be. Don't let them put you in that position. Now that's hard in ministry. Because people put an expectation on you based on someone else. Can somebody else maybe do a better job than you? Maybe. But see, this is the job God gave you to do. Be the best you can be. Don't try to be what you're not. You can't be what you're not. You won't be good at it. But you can be good at what you're called to do. Don't let people put you in a box. Be the member of the body of Christ that God has called you to be. Amen. That's part of what flows out of us. Managing your personality, managing your temperament, managing your talents, managing your spiritual gifts. That's the only thing that you're responsible to be, is the part of the body of Christ that you've been called to do. And you know what? If you'll manage your time and your talent, your personality, all of those things, you can do that. Next week we're going to talk about treasure. It's going to be good. You don't want to miss it. I said you don't want to miss it. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to turn some lives around, some believers here. See, I hadn't been preaching to unbelievers. Now, if you haven't made that step of faith, I'm not going to give an altar call. But if you haven't made that step of faith to become a believer and want to, come see me. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you to make that decision. And I'll get you hooked up with where you can start learning. But I've been challenging believers. Be what you are designed to be. There's only one of you, and that's what you will answer for, is who you're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. I want to pray over you before we go today. When I say amen, you're dismissed.